9 years old, I say it's amazing. It was so amazing that when Sarah had heard of it, she laughed. And she believes, if we look later in the text, that when she tells the story to people and they hear about the story, what are they going to do? They're going to laugh. They're going to have a hard time grasping that the God up there comes down here and does unbelievable things. Supernatural things happen on this planet. Good supernatural things. There's some bad things that happen too, obviously, because Satan's here. But there's some great things that God does.
Amen.
Every day in the lives of believers. And some, even. Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Sarah conceiving and bearing Abraham a son is a pretty neat thing. It's even neater when you look at the reality that it goes all the way back to chapter 12 that God promised it. All the way back, how many years? Abraham was 75 when he got the promise. He's 100 now. 25. Good math class. I appreciate that. 25 years, we find the circle finally closes. And we're so quick to throw stones at Abraham. How many of you could wait 25 years for something that was promised you? We need 25 minutes is a long time. Or 35, depending on how long you preach. That's a long time. But 25 years, Abraham and Sarah have been waiting, and then she buried up a son in his old age. And that would be amazing, all by itself. But look at the next little phrase that qualifies it. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. At the set time. What does that mean? It means God had made a statement that it was going to happen. And then, if you remember back in chapter 18 and verse 10, God makes a statement. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of the life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. What he's saying there is simply this. God had put him on a timer, just kind of like this one. Is it about a year from now? I'm going to be here. And she's going to have a son. They got their heads to be getting excited about that, right? And here it actually happens. So not only does an old man and an old woman have a little baby, but it happens when God says it's going to happen.
Amen.
Perfect timing. I mean, the action is amazing. But the timing is also amazing. So when God is talking to you and you're talking to him and you're working through something that you really, really want to happen, this thing that you want, God hears you. And he cares about that thing. But he also cares about the timing of that thing.
That's right.
You see, there's two things at play here. There's the action, and then there's when it happens. So when we pray to God, asking him for a job, a house to sell, or whatever it is, we need to be praying, understanding that not only the action needs to happen, or we would like it to happen, but when you say, God, according to your will, I want that action to happen. But then we should also say, according to your timing, Lord, because your timing is perfect. And we see it right here in the text. At the set time of which God has spoken to him. And then verse 3. Verse 3 is a killer. Verse 1 and 2 talks about how God and his word is true, credible, and trustworthy. Verses 3 and 4 start talking about, talk about God's word should provoke us to action. We should be getting busy when we hear God's word, not just sit there and go, oh, that's interesting, or I don't really care about that. Verse 3, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. So why would Abraham call this baby Isaac? Do you remember? What's that? Because she laughed, okay? It means laughter. So what else? Well, I'm not going to go turn back there, but you can look at 17:19. God said, you're going to have a son, and you call his name Isaac. See, Abraham didn't say, I like Michael better. I'm going to name him Michael. After all, there's an archangel named Michael. What? What's wrong with that? If God used a name, I could use it. Well, it's not whether or not Michael was good or bad. The question is, what did God say? God said to name him Isaac. And what did he do? That's exactly what God said. And when we do what God says, it works out to our benefit.
Amen.
And when we don't do it, then we are launched out there on our own. Praying that God would rescue us when we make the mess. I think verse 3 is very interesting for several reasons. But one, do you see in that verse that God is trying to tell us that this son is Abraham's son? Do we know it's Abraham's son? Because Abraham's a hunter, you know. Well, look how we know. It says in verse 3, and Abraham called the name of whose son? His son, that was born to who? Him, whom Sarah bare to who? Oh my goodness. Starting with the word call, call his name. That idea, the only person who can name somebody is that person who has authority over that person. So Abraham must be the father then, since he named the son. But if we didn't get that nuance, then he gives us three more times. In that one verse. You think it's important to God that we understand that this son is Abraham's son and Sarah's son? Yes, because there is another one, isn't there? And that story kind of gets on going later. There's Ishmael, who Abraham and Sarah had this idea they concocted. And God said, that's your idea, but it's not mine. And in fact, sometimes those ideas, even though God still gave them Isaac, Ishmael's still around. In our lives, that's how it is too, isn't it? Sometimes we go out on our own. And God's made it clear, this is what He wants. But we say, but God, that's not as fun. That's not as much money. That's not as, you know, that's not what I want to do at right now. So we do what we want and we fail. And we finally realize we fail. We cry out to God, what does He do? He forgives us. He begins to bless us again in our life, and we see all these blessings. But every so often, there's a reminder in our life that, yeah, I blew that time. And if we've asked God to forgive, it is forgiven. Wiped clean.
Amen.
But we still sometimes have to deal with the consequences and the overflow and the lasting impression of the faith failure that we had in the past. But we know God is good. And that God works all things together for good. Even those mess ups. But what the mess ups do to remind us is, we don't want to do that again, do we? We don't want to go there anymore. Even though God fixes them, there's still consequences. And I think that's what Ishmael really is all about. Reminding us that there's consequences. And Abraham circumcised whose son? Oh, that's just another extra one. That's the fifth one there. His son Isaac being 8 days old. Why would he do such a thing? Why would he circumcise his son? It's fairly new practice. At 8 days old. Where did he get this idea? Somebody help me. God gave it to him. Now, chapter 17, verse 12. God said, when they're 8 days old, that's when you do it. If you want to be part of this covenant relationship, this is what I'd really like you to do as a sign of that covenant. Wow. So Abraham obeyed again. So God's word is to be heard, to be trusted, but also to be followed.
Amen.
Precisely. You see, 8 days is not 7. It's also not 6 or 5. Or 9 or 10. You say, oh, does it really matter, Pastor? Yeah. Medically, we find that that is the day that is best. Did God know that already? Yes, because He's the one who made every body. So He knows how the body works. That's the time to do it. God is an amazing God. He's a precise God.
Amen.
He's very precise, and He asks us to obey Him. He has a precise thing that He would like us to obey and how to obey. We have different personalities. God works within those. But God's truth is truth. And we shouldn't move to the left or to the right of it. We should be dead on. And make sure this is exactly what God wants. We move on. Abraham was 100 years old, and his son Isaac was born unto him. He was 100 years old. Yep. Why would we repeat this? Isn't it amazing? It's amazing. And again, it reminds us, whose son is it? His son. And who was it born to? Him. I mean, you know, really, if we don't get that, we're pretty slow. But God evidently thinks we're a little bit slow. Because he keeps putting it in here. This is Abraham's boy. This is the one. This is the promised one. Don't miss it, he said. Well, verses 3, 1 and 2 tell us that God's word is reliable. And verses 3 through 5 tell us that we should act upon the truth that we hear, not just be hearers only. And verses 6 through 8 go on to share with us some of that reaction, that God's word ought to be rejoiced. We ought to rejoice in God's word. And in just a moment, I'd like to give you the opportunity to give testimony about how you rejoice that you took God at His word. And yes, it was true, because it worked just like He said. So just be ready right after we finish these verses. Verse 6 goes on to say, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. It's the same word, little different take on it, just one nudge over. What God's saying is, God has made me a laughing stock. You could almost put that. When people see me, they chuckle. Why they chuckle? Because they're reminded of the unbelievable thing God did in my life. Can you imagine if she passed in the crowd? 9-year-old woman walks through the crowd, and everybody goes, hey, look, she's carrying a baby. That's her baby. That's not her grandbaby or her great-grandbaby. That's her baby. No way. Way! And that's what it means. She was the center, the thing that provokes others to go, ugh. To be amazed. What a great thing it is for us. And that's why I want you to give some testimony so that others would go, really? God did that? Then I can trust God too for great things. And I can believe that God, when He said something, that's what He's going to do. That's exactly what it's saying here. The words are very similar, that same word, different form. He goes on to say, God made me to laugh, or laughing stock, so that all that hear, that means she's telling about it, right? You can't hear something unless someone says something, or makes the noise, that all that hear will laugh with me. And that's exactly where he has said that Sarah laughed. It's kind of an incredulous laugh. Like, I can't really believe that. That is hard for me to wrap my brain around. That's what it's saying. And when people get to talking to Sarah, and Sarah shares how God did this, they're like, really? I just don't know if I can believe what you're saying to me. Believe it. It's amazing what God does. Goes on to say, verse 7, and she said, who would have said to Abraham, in other words, who would have ever thunk it? That's crazy. Okay? Who would have ever thunk it? Sarah would be able to give children suck, it says. What is it saying? He's saying, not only is it amazing that she has a baby, but that she can take care of the baby. I mean, it's amazing to me that God finds a spouse for any of us. There it is. That's a miracle. God does that for us. But then for us to be able to stay together, that's another miracle. So, it's amazing that yes, Isaac was born, but it's even amazing that somehow God even worked it out that she can nurse the baby at 9 years old. That's the kind of God we have. He's not going to give us blessings that we don't know how to handle. He's not going to bless us with something that He doesn't give us the equipment to work. He doesn't give us children without the ability to raise those children. He doesn't give us grandchildren for me. without giving it a little extra smarts or understanding or wisdom to pass down to those grandbabies. He gives the equipment on board to take care of the blessing He gives us. What a great thing that is, isn't it? I'm excited to see how God works in me, through me, even when I think there's not enough on board. Because faithful is He who called you, and He will also what? Do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. God called you to do something. He not only called you and put you in that position, but then He supplies all that you need. Amen. Make it happen. Very scary sometimes, but there all of a sudden. Okay. Verse 8 moves on and says, and the child grew and was weaned. The child grew and was weaned. So what age is that? Well, in the West, we have one age. Okay? Generally, in the West, we wean our children earlier than in the Middle East and the East. It doesn't tell us what his age was, but it could have been as old as 5. Could have been as old as 5. Which would make sense if you look at several verses in Scripture, and I think I even put some in your list of additional verses. You can look up when it talks about the child who is weaned is speaking the truth. Well, you know, it has to be old enough to talk, at least, right? So, we look at that one. I think that we would probably be talking about someone closer to 5 than closer to 3. Was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Why did he make a feast? He wanted others to join in his joy. And to see great feast means he was bigoted. Okay? I don't know if you caught that technical language that's great, but it's a bigot. The only question I had was, if he invited all the people around, did they want to get an invitation? And if he got an invitation, did he show up? Wouldn't that have been kind of strange? Awkward, right? Yeah, very awkward moment as he comes in and says, oh, it's good to see you. You and your wife and child. You know, we're just now expecting. Because you caused the problem. So, as we think of God being faithful to His Word, and we see it all the way through this text, could you share with us at this time, at some point where you read a verse of Scripture, God led you to that verse. You looked at it, what it said, the principle there, and you said, I'm going to apply this to my life. And when you applied God's Word to your life, God did what He said. Anybody want to share? Now's your opportunity. Okay.
I remember when I was a teenager, I read this verse again. It said, God gives wisdom to all those who ask for it. And I knew from my family situation that there wasn't probably going to be money for college in my future. So I prayed to God to be able to get wisdom and to be able to go to some place. And so He was able to send me to school across town where money isn't an issue. Thank you, all the taxpayers. To get an education there. So it's definitely a prayer answer from when I was a teenager.
Amen. God supplies wisdom. Anybody else? Randall, if I ask you to do something, I'm not really asking you to do it. I'm just asking you to go there, and I'll do it through you. And my answer was, okay, Lord. I don't know how to talk. I don't want to be in front of people. I get nervous in social gatherings. I totally don't understand why you would ever call me to do this. But I know you are. And if I'm going to do it, then you're going to have to do it anyway. And here I am 30-something years later, realizing exactly what he said, he did it. He is faithful to his word. Anyone else?
Okay. My young Christian life, I didn't know better than, you know, being in the military. I was seeking all things, you know, every way to make me happy. You know, girls, parties. And one devotion, I was reading my Bible and I fell on my knees crying. Yeah, that's where I cried. And, one verse I hold on to, even up to now, I pass to my kids. And Matthew 21, 22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask, whatsoever, believe me, you shall receive. But I pray to God to provide me, because I guess it was the time for me to dedicate myself to Him, but also ask Him to provide me a godly woman that informed my life. And a few months later, He blessed me with my wife. And I got things, I'm blessed with a beautiful family. And they never turned into a, you know, they always asked, or they always answered what they asked. They did not.
God does answer our prayers. He promises to do, and He does. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Anybody else before we move on? Lots of great scriptures that we can go to. Lots. Scott, did you have something? Somebody, great.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll try to make this fast. Well, it's simple. Actually, it's in the whole book of the Bible. It's the Gospel of John. I was reading it, and throughout the book of John, the author would mention the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I was reading it, and it intrigued me. And this is where it's actually an advantage sometimes to not be that smart. It's some spiritual blessings when something obvious hits me. I'm not that smart, so I couldn't figure out who was this guy that John is talking about, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It took me reading the whole book. And finally, at the end, I realized he's talking about himself. John is talking about himself, and it hit me that it was so important to him that Jesus loved him, that that's how he identified himself. Mm-hmm. And that I still carry that to this day, that I want to identify myself as me, whom Jesus loves. Mm-hmm. So that was my understanding of this whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me encourage you. If you couldn't think of one today, then go to prayer and ask God that He might make His Word come alive to you, so that you might look at His Word and see where it says, "Call unto me, and I will show you great mighty things which thou knowest not." You know, and that's what we want to see: God answering our prayers, God doing great things in our lives. How boring and humdrum a life is without God interacting with you through His Word and by His Spirit. Let me encourage you. Take God at His Word. Well, look at your notes just very quickly. I entitled a sermon I thought I'd never do. Why have a Bible conference? That's what the name of this sermon's all about. We're having a Bible conference coming up starting Friday. Why should we have one? Is it proper?
Yes.
I think the answer is yes. I think according to this text, we find in this text that God has given us His Word. And His Word is something that is worth spending some time with.
Amen.
And special time. And I think it was given so that we would do three things. And I think this weekend I'm hoping that we'll do three things. That we will recall His Word.
Amen.
And we'll say, yeah, I read Revelation before. I don't want to hear this guy speak. Well, I'm not going to say he's going to write new verses in Revelation. It's all the same ones that have been there all along. But it's great to look at them again, isn't it?
Amen.
To recall them and to rework. And it's something, as always, when you read God's Word, if you really want to, God always brings something right up out of there. You said, I never saw that before. Where did it come from? It's almost as though someone wrote it in there while you weren't looking. But that's why we have a Bible conference, to be refreshed in that and recall all the great things God does. Secondly, we also want to react. And I thought about using the word react, and I thought, no, that's not a good word. We need the word respond. Because respond is positive. React could be either negative or positive. But I really do like the word react because I would rather you react to God's word than not do anything.
Amen.
I would rather you get mad at every sermon I preach than just fall asleep and go, oh, it was warm. You know how warm sermons are, right? Not so hot. I would rather you just get angry with me or say, praise God. Amen. But not just sit there and go like, oh, another service, another church, oh, Sunday, football's in a few minutes. So we don't react. And then lastly, at a Bible conference, I hope that we will rejoice. That we rejoice. Why would we rejoice? Because God is faithful.
Amen.
Because God has done great things, and God will do great things. We are on the verge of something unbelievable happening. You say, Pastor, what is it? I don't even know. And I know my God.
Amen.
And every day He does unbelievable things.
Right. Amen.
Things that make our mouth pop open, and we fall and go, really? Oh. And we get opportunity to be part of it. And give Him all the glory for that.
Amen.
So let's go on these flights real quick. According to my day, I have 3 minutes and 3 seconds. Just so you know. I'm paying attention. I still see it. And the Lord has turned off. To recall. When we recall God's Word, what are we doing? We're saying the Bible is reliable. It is reliable.
Amen.
It's reliable when it talks about three things. It's reliable when it talks about His presence. Is God's presence important to you?
Amen.
I think it is. I hate to go to church. In a church where God's presence is not there.
Amen.
That's a horrible place to be. Because I think it's hypocritical. Because when two or more gather in His name, what is he doing? He's right there in the midst. So that means there's not two or three people of His here? No, we're here. God's here. It's great to be there. His presence. I'd love to have His presence here while we worship. I'd like to have His presence with me all day in the week.
Amen.
I look forward to being in His presence someday. He's right there, looking face to face. I totally wonder whether we have sinuses in heaven. You understand what I mean? You say, Pastor, you're weird. Well, when I get moved emotionally, my sinuses drain. My everything just goes, whack. And I'm just a slobber mess. And it happens more and more now I get older. And I'm a grandpa. But if we have sinuses, I think as soon as we see the Lord Jesus, the amount of love that He has for us, we will finally get it. We will finally get it. And we will fall at His feet.
Amen.
And we will just release everything. If we can cry, and must be crying at heaven because it says they'll wipe away all the tears. So, tear ducts, yes. Sinuses, no. I don't know. Let's move on. His presence. The Bible is reliable also about His promises. If God says He'll do it, He'll do it.
Amen.
Count on it.
Right.
There's lots of promises in God's Word. And if you don't know them, then start looking for them.
Amen.
Dig around. There's gold nuggets all in there. And then lastly, God is faithful according to His prophecies. When He says something will happen, it will happen. Just exactly like He said.
That's right.
And that's what this text has all been about. As He has said, as God commanded. We're looking at Revelation. Is there any prophecy there?
No.
So, we'll be plenty of that for our conference. So, let's move on. We not only recall, we also are supposed to react. The Bible is instructive, therefore we ought to not be like a man looking in the mirror and then going on his way. We need to also do something about what we see.
Right.
His Word compels us to do three things. One, to obey. That's easy, right?
Amen.
That's what you say about that. That's it. That's all you need. We're supposed to obey. Secondly, we are to observe. What's the difference from observe to obey? Well, we observe the Lord's Supper, we say. We observe baptism. We do certain things to remember what God has sent for us to do and to honor Him. So when we read God's Word, we honor His Word by obeying it, but we honor His Word also by not taking it lightly, by dishonoring it, by making fun of it. We observe it by doing exactly the things He asks us to do. And then thirdly, we are to occupy. To occupy. Occupy till I come, He says. What does that term occupy mean? It means to stay engaged. It means that, yes, you might could worship God on the lake today. But God says, forsake ye not the gathering yourselves together, as the habit of some is. Right? What He's saying is, you need to get busy, be in the ministry, be a part of a local body of Christ, either this one or some other one. Be active.
Amen.
Don't be a lump. Be someone who is doing what the Lord has you to do. Be engaged. And then lastly, our Bible conference, and this passage indicates that we are to rejoice in the Lord's Word, in God's Word, to rejoice. Why do we rejoice? Because the Bible is good.
That's right.
Without reservation. The Bible is good. Yes, it's perfect. Yes, it's holy. Yes, it's right. Yes, it's truth. But it's good.
Amen.
It does good things. Wherever the Bible is used, it upgrades things. Every place it goes, when the Bible is there, it upgrades things. Every time you take the Bible out of something, it degrades. Rejoice. His Word is good. And does His Word only work for Bible-thumping believers? Well, it does work for them, but it also captures another group. It captures the incredulous. Those who have a hard time believing it. So go out and challenge somebody. Go ahead and share God's Word with somebody who doesn't believe. It's okay if they laugh at first. Sarah laughed. Don't be discouraged. Keep sharing God's Word because it is true.
Amen.
And it's part of your rejoicing. Don't anybody pour cold water on your rejoicing. Enjoy it.
Amen.
It captivates the incredulous and the incapacitated. Those who are hurting. And there's a lot of people out there that are hurting. So, a lot of people who have needs. A lot of people who aren't whole. They need God's Word. And if you could give them it, it could change their whole outlook. It makes them to rejoice. Even in their situation, as bad as it could be, their heart could be merry while their body is suffering. That's a joy that only God can give through His Word. And then lastly, God's Word rejoices those who are invested. Invested. I truly believe if you come to the Bible conference this weekend and you put your heart out there to God, say, God, I don't know why I should go. I'm going because my pastor really leaned on us. But God, I'm also going because I'm expecting you to do something. Please do something in my life. Bring me something to enrich my life that I might praise you for next week. Do you think God will answer that prayer? I believe He will.
Amen.
If you're here today and you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're the incapacitated one we're talking about. You're the one that the Bible says is dead in your sins, which means that you have no ability to get to heaven. Yes, you may do some things that are fairly good. But God said, by the deeds of the flesh, no person. By the deeds of the law, by the things that we do, we can't get to heaven. Only in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Are you in Christ today? And if not, He opens His arms and says, come.
Right.
To all. And He turns none away. Today can be the day of salvation for you.
Amen.
I would love to see you trust Christ today and then be rejoicing about what His Word says.